Now, okay, let's start from verse 16 now. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed. I want you to just understand this word, promise. Just notice it. Notice it. Promise. So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. He said, the promise, he said, those are of the faith of Abraham, he was saying, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. King James says, cause those things that be not as though they were. I'm reading New American Standard. It says, he calls into being that which does not exist. That expression is very important. That when God makes a promise, I want you to understand this. He's not saying that I have projected, I have, you know, arranged, I have calculated it that the way the economy is going, the GDP of Nigeria is increasing by, who knows, current economics. Who knows it now? Nobody. I don't know. Let's assume that it says that, okay, the GDP is growing by 6% per year. It therefore means that it's 6%, right? Uh-huh, all right. I told you I'm a prophet and the Lord is good. Just joking. So it's growing by 6% a year. It means that over the next 6 years, over the next 10 years, the GDP should have doubled. You know, therefore, I've calculated that if you buy land at this time and you get this, you'll be okay. So I say to you, don't worry. That's not what God is saying. He said, it calls into existence that which did not exist. What is he saying there? It's simple. Even though the GDP is minus 6, and the whole economy vanish after 8 years, it makes no difference. Are you getting my point? That when the time comes for that your future to be manifested, I will call into existence that which did not exist. For example, you know how God makes men rich? Look, any man that's going to be richest man in the world, that kind of thing, go and check. It's usually in an area where people are not doing things before. I don't know, you know, you have to put value. Like now, Bill Gates became the richest man in the world as software was developing. Are you getting my point? He became the richest man in the world. All right? So anything that's developing new that you catch into early will make you very, very rich. So God said, okay, let me make this Okechukwu boy rich. What do we do? What are they looking for? All of that. Okay, create something. No, you understand my point? Create something new. Let the whole world be dependent on it. I'm serious. The angels will just come. Arrange some very sharp boys in university who will have a lot of thinking. Give them ideas. And make sure they are broke and come to you. Say, please, sir, can you just give us 10,000 naira to get this idea? You say, well, what do I get? I say, we'll give you 50%. Over the next 15 years, the thing grows so big, the whole world is depending on it. It's not a big deal. God does those things regularly. I don't know what I heard I said. It's not a big deal. So when he makes a promise, please understand this, it's not hinged upon what existed. It is that when the time comes, I will make sure everything arranges to make my word come to pass. The fellow that impresses God is the one that builds his or her life on God's promise. Many people build life on what they can see. That's the point I'm trying to make. People do it. Listen, like I say all the time, for young people, hear it again. You can go to any country in the world you so desire. If you wake up tomorrow, come and say, sir, I'm going to Bolivia. I will pray with you. Yes, I'm serious. He said that this time around, I'm going down to Nicaragua. What you are looking for in Nicaragua, I don't know. But fine, it's all right. If you feel convinced you should go there, I will pray with you. But the one that will say to you straight, oh foolish Galatian, is if you tell me that I've seen the way the economy is going, I have decided that the best place for a man to hide so they can prosper is Nicaragua. That's why I will call you to order. Say, come here. Safety is of the Lord. There is nowhere you run to in this world where you can be safe. Let me tell you the truth. While you are watching, you listening to me, eh? While you are watching, you see economy, America become average. I don't want to say anything worse. They will become average. It will happen. Now, this one is going to happen. What I want to say will happen. What I'm about to say, will happen. It will come to pass while you are watching, not in a very distant future, that an average businessman in Nigeria, his daily, profit has more value of that of an average businessman in the United States of America. That one will happen. I'm not cursing anybody. I'm not blessing anybody. I'm stating facts that are going to happen. It will happen that to live comfortably. Now, listen, I'm giving you this one. I'm not kidding about it. That laboring average, let's calculate on a normal. I'm not talking about Christians now, you know, not people who are laboring by faith. Oh, I speak to my business, produce. That one is added advantage. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, that one is added advantage. I'm telling you one that the average unbeliever on the street will partake in, the sun shining like on everybody, is that it will be easier to make, you know, money for comfort and, you know, personal needs in this country than it will be at that time in the United States of America. It will happen that all American pilots, they say, oh boy, we'll go look for a job for Nigeria. I say things they happen for that side. I'm not kidding. I mean that one literally. Literally. I mean, after all, take a look, go and ask your fathers. Stories of just 40 years ago. When they finished school abroad, they used to run back home. Quick. They finish today. Tomorrow, they are down home. That's where the action is. So don't think it's something strange. Things like that happen all the time. Go to many of those European countries now. Life hard. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Now, I'm going to bring out an issue here. So, listen. It is foolishness to plot your life according to what eyes can see. It's foolishness. It's utter foolishness. There's something I used to see, give as an example. Let me say it again. When my wife and I were discussing, I said to her, listen, if a man had billions and billions of naira and has houses all over the place, I said, let's just project in 15 or 20 years' time. Who do you think is sure of where he will stay? Him or me, in my little level, especially at that time. I told my wife, I said simply, you can be sure. Now, let us assume you want to marry a man because you want to be sure you have a house in 20 years. You had better marry me. Why? Because his own assurance of a house, assume he's not a believer, is based upon what the eyes can see. Mine is based upon a promise. That's what I'm getting to in all of these things. That is the God of the universe. Say, Banky, don't worry. Anytime you need a house, ask me. I'll make sure you always have one. That is a sure... Oh my God, I pray you understand. That is a surer guarantee of having a home in 20 years' time than having $1 billion today. The fellow who impresses God is the one who built his life or her life on the promise that God makes. That's the way it is. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 4. I stop in a particular verse, right? Verse 16. He said, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, the father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Talking further about Abraham, verse 18, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Please notice that. That is, Abraham's hope was built upon the promise when the word of God said to him, so shall your descendants be. He said, without becoming weak in faith. Now notice this. He contemplated his own body. If you have a King James, it will tell you he did not contemplate his body. Are you getting my point? Now, the correct thing is that he contemplated his body. But that was without being weak in faith. That is, what he was saying is that the man was 100 years old. He looked at his body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver, that is, by going into unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had what? Had what?
Promise.
Had what?
Promise.
He was able also to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, please let me just stay here. This is the main thing I want to drop today. Now, I'm talking about how Isaac came to be. We're talking about the life of Isaac. Isaac's name is Laughter. And Isaac is a sign of what God will do in the life of Abraham. Please follow me. Listen, Abraham's faith, what impressed God about Abraham when God began to swear concerning him that by myself I have sworn, go and read Hebrews chapter 6, that in blessing I will bless you and I will make your name great. It wasn't, please listen to this, it wasn't because Abraham loved God so much he was willing to give him everything. Let it not be as if I'm always fighting this give gospel. You understand what I'm saying? People say if you love God, you give him anything, he will swear. Listen, it's not true. Oh, Father in heaven. You must understand this. Let me say this again. A Christian is a giver. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, if I want to raise money from you, what I will tell you is the truth. God loves a cheerful giver. And what I need money from, if I'm hungry, I will say to you, if I don't eat, and you have been blessed by my word, you are in trouble. Is it truth? How can you be eating fat and I've been blessing you and I'm hungry? Is it good? I will tell you the truth. If work has to be done, I would like us to reach to another area and we don't have money. I will say it. No, I normally don't do that, but there's nothing wrong with it. I will just ask you, please, brethren, if God has blessed you, this is what we want to do. It's a good cause, give towards it. And good Christians do good things. Amen? Good Christians give towards good causes. Amen?
Amen?
Good Christians spend money in a manner that's pleasing God. But good Christians never give money because they will get from God. Good Christians give money because they know that they can never be broke. They know that if they need anything, God will give to them. They are not attached to what they have right now. Very important you understand that. It's a sign of faith. To be a generous giver is what? Is what? A sign of faith. It means that you don't trust in money. Go and read that second, is it 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17? Go and read it again. Those who don't trust in money, they are generous. That's a matter of fact. But, I want to emphasize it. Don't think that because Abraham gave God something, God was so excited, he said, Abraham, hey, can you imagine? This man, after one whole year, he ends his whole salary and gave to me. I will bless him now. No. That was not what excited God. Let me say to you again, what excited God was that God promised something. He said, in Isaac will your seed be. Then that same God, there was no confusion as to who was speaking. That same God said, bring that Isaac, let us sacrifice him. I want him as a burnt offering. Listen, Abraham so believed in God, his faith in God reached an extent that he said, since the word was in Isaac, will my seed be. Therefore, if this Isaac dies, it means God must raise him back from the dead. I dare to say this to you. Abraham went to go and watch the raising of the dead. You may say, what's the big deal? You must bear this in mind. Read your Bible. Before that time, nobody in the Bible had been raised from the dead. Go and read the scriptures. Nobody. Nobody. Abraham had never heard of the raising of the dead. He deduced it out of the assurance of the promise of God. It's like me telling you, please, we have to be in Lagos by tomorrow morning. Do you understand? And then, you just let me start going. He said, no, don't worry. And let's assume I'm God. You understand my point? He said, you must be in Lagos 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Then, there are no planes, nothing. It's driving. This night, he said, let's start going. I said, don't worry. By 6:30, let's start going. I said, don't worry. By 7:30, I said, and I'm still saying to you, don't worry. You now say, if indeed we'll be in Lagos by 8 o'clock, there must be a way of transporting us that he wants to use, I don't know about yet. I don't know what I get my point. It's common sense. 8 o'clock tomorrow, I will be in Lagos. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But I will be in Lagos. So I relax. I hope you are following my point. Once I'm sure I'm dealing with this God, that's what I said to you, listen, that's what impresses God. And the challenge, I say it again, the challenge of Christianity today is for people, let's take this breakthrough thing as an example, prosperity as an example, is for God to say to you, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So do you believe that? I say yes. Say now, Park, go to Abakili, go and start a church. Now, yeah, you get my point. You were in Lagos, where the offerings were big. Listen, this is a mistake a lot of preachers make till today. They must have a branch in Lagos because that's where the offerings come from. And that is the very thing that displeases God. Why? Because now, listen, God can send it to go and do anything anywhere. Are you getting my point? No, I keep on saying that thing because I say it because people sometimes often misunderstand as if, Banky, you don't like Lagos. No, it's the hang up in the hearts of people that I don't like. That is the one I don't like. That is the one that is wrong. A young woman decides that for me to make it in life, I have to get out of here. And I'm saying to you, you don't have to get out of here. Whatever here your own here is. I am saying that God is saying, listen, and that is what impresses him for you to believe that word. He said, I call into existence that which did not exist before. That is, while I was speaking to you, that this is what I will do in your life, you looked around, that does not exist. Abraham's wife, literally in today's counting of years, was 90 years old. So he too, like a normal person, he gave up on the idea. And God came to him and said, no. And the man laughed. They called the name of the boy Laughter. Are you getting my point? Listen, I was thinking about it today. I sat down and I said, God, and no, really, that was the prayer. God, I pray that we trust you totally. Listen, there are different ways. Go and listen to our message, The Satisfaction of the Father. Just check our list. The Satisfaction of the Father. Go and go through it. There's something that makes God happy. When we were in school those days, there was one brother. He used to study very, very hard. He was a hard reader. When he wants to read like this, those kind of people that won't sleep, they would drink coffee. When they finish with that, all right, they will bring something, anything to keep awake. Put your leg inside cold water and the other one in hot water. They will do it. Burn the candle, like they say, at both ends. And you know what? He used to succeed very well. It was an A student, distinction student. He was always on top of his class. And my friend and I looked at him. Lord, we thank you for success. We thank you for victory. We don't want to be like him. No, it was a matter of fact. One day my friend chose because, of course, Christians, the way we behave and the way we misbehave. They will now start inviting you to be giving talk on academic success in every fellowship. Around foolishness. No, he wouldn't come near a fellowship where I was in charge. Lie. You want to come and teach my people how to die young? It's not right that it's vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, passing with hard labor. I said, lie. My friend and I cheeks were looking. I said, this is not a testimony. That is, I'm not lying to you. We had classmates. Look, there was an unbeliever in my class that was so one of the top students in the class. I had more respect for that guy's head than I did for that other fellow. Because this one is not, at least he's not claiming he's believing in God. He's not going around teaching Christians how to succeed. He's just doing his work. It is confusion, really. You know, I was in Lagos. Now, there's one woman, very, very rich. Very, very rich, all right? I won't mention the name for her because we are recording this. Very rich. You know, when you're counting money, you're counting maybe scores of billions. Understand? So she's a Christian now, right, from what I was told. And then she now maybe goes to church to come and teach young women, Christian business women, and all of that. So my friend in whose house I was, the wife, was now speaking. Said that look, that she doesn't understand. When they say the woman is coming, she packs her bag and leaves. That what she coming to tell me? What was she trying to explain? That she just gave her life to Christ recently. She was rich before that. And that the way the money was made is not something I want to repeat. That's what she was trying to tell me. So that I'll just pack my things. I beg, please. What are you coming to tell me? Now I'm bringing an issue here. That what I want to hear he's out to succeed with the grace of God despite all the hindrances against me. You are telling me how to flow with the arm of flesh and succeed, then you come and give me a testimony. Because, you know, she was trying to analyze something. And I said, listen, I agree with you, my sister, totally. That what I want, now, I talked about satisfaction of the Father. What God wants is how you succeeded without using the arm of flesh. That is what he takes glory from. That I'm an A student. But I wake up at a good time, fellowship time or Bible study time, I'm there. I go to church. When it's late at night, I'm already asleep. I have decent number of hours of sleep. I'm not saying I'm indisciplined. You know, some people carry to the other extreme. So I don't even read at all. All I do is watch television. That is foolishness. What did I call it? You know, there was one scripture. I didn't want to go back to it now. One was saying that, look, there's not Bible called the doing of good. All right? Watching football all the time as a student is the doing of bad. It is good for a student to go to class. It is good for a student to learn. I mean, the aim is not to pass. The aim is to do what? To learn. That's it. We're not just working to get a certificate. We want to learn. And it is good for you to learn. Whether somebody is giving you an exam or not, you must learn. So don't ever come and give any foolish testimony of how irresponsible you are at the time of learning and yet you passed. I don't want to hear that one. No. Tell me that testimony, I'll call it to the side. Don't go outside and give this testimony. There are things that Jesus will do for you and say, see that you tell no man. It's in the Bible like that. I mean, I like the story of Ben Carson. God gave him a miracle. He passed the exam by a miracle. At the end of the day, he knelt down and promised God, I will never put you in this kind of situation where I will need this kind of miracle again. I said, that's Christianity. Because he had been irresponsible. It happened to me when I was in university also. There was a subject I did not like. I did not like it. And the exam was approaching. I knelt down and said, God in heaven, help. And the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know then that it was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, oh boy, you're a student. Go to class. That course I didn't use to go. Before, you know, it was so boring. I remember one day they were teaching us in class, housing and health. That was the subject. And they said, a good house should have this number of windows. I thought the man was just telling stories. A good house should have this number of toilets. I don't know the thing they come for exam. Not right hand first. A good house. I mean, we're 4 PM medical student. I said, so after a while, I remember my friend, Alex, one of my classmates. He was beside me. This is what he did that day.
This is common sense. This is common sense.
He was sitting near me. So this is common sense. This is common sense. We're taking lectures. A good house should be painted. The gutter in front should be flowing. We didn't know that before. In our exam, did that. And even another lecture, they came to teach us about taboos. Taboos. In some places, children are not allowed to eat egg. And they are the ones that need the egg. Yeah. In some places, they were doing like that. So we're looking like, oh, this juice is good today. After a while, the 1 hour was over. So the next lecture shall be, what did it happen? After that, we're not going to go to class again. So they just come and be telling us things that our grandparents knew. I have to come to medical school to know the good house you have window. You know that kind of thing? Oh boy. Now exam begin, I approach you. Now as you say, this place, nothing. I went to go and pray. And the first thing Holy Spirit let me know is, oh boy, you know, I told you, there are two testimonies I've given. Three, but one, Holy Spirit said, stop saying this is volatile. Remember that. This one was that start going to class. That one, and the lecture used to be 8 o'clock. So why should I wake up? I come on, keep on sleeping. It's a bit to rise up too early. After that, I did not miss one lecture. I didn't miss one lecture after that one. Boring or interesting, I went. I'm just telling the story to balance it. God helped me. In fact, the day the results came, I didn't go to check. I went to class to sit down. So my friend Chuks came. He was feeling very happy. I knew I checked his result. So he saw me, hey, what happened? I said, have you checked your result? He said, yes. So I said, he said, what about you? I said, I haven't gone. You didn't go? I said, oh boy, I'm not fit. He said, I've checked your own now. I said, you checked his head? He said, yes. What happened? You passed now. Ah, passed! That is, I didn't have the liver to go and check. Why did I tell the story again? To let you know, all right, that there's a balance to it. I'm not saying a student just sits down and does not go to class. If you don't go to class, God will make you fail, not because he can't make you pass, but he wants to teach you a lesson in self-discipline. He wants to teach you a lesson, you understand, in how to do what is good. Later I'll talk about it, succeeding that principle of Isaac. We are not saying that people will not work. We are saying they will do that which is what? Good. There are things that are good. There are things that are bad. You must learn to do that which is good. I'm just saying, while you are doing that which is good, your hope must not be on what you are doing, but must be on what? The promise of God. That is what a Christian lives his life by. When I finished in Lagos, then I told people I was coming to Enugu. They said, money's in Lagos. You know, the scripture that was in my mind, anytime they talked about money, I said, no. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I understood it totally, that anywhere I went, I could go anywhere. Money will come to the place where I am. I don't make my decisions because of where money is. That's what I'm talking about. When we said success, people will laboring with their arm of flesh. They come and give me testimonies on how to succeed by labor. I said, no. What are you going to give me as a testimony? You don't sleep. Any normal human being, except there's a special curse upon him that works this hard, should get a blessing. And I can prove that it's in the scriptures. God, after he cursed the earth, cursed be the earth because of you. He said, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. It's a curse to have to sweat before eating bread. It's a curse. What Christians do is good. You just do what? Good. It is good to work. It is. You must be productive. You must be a blessing to people. That's what good is. You want to be successful in life, you hang on the promise of God for that. Not on how you can humanly plot anything. And I say to you again today, the word of God will never fail. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Yes, let me say it again. The word of God can never fail. Anybody that tells you the word failed did not believe that word. He was trying to copy somebody else. Which is a problem. The man told you that I just got up one day, I left everything I was doing, I went to do this one. You do what he is doing, thinking that's a formula. No, he did that because he had a promise. Hanging on that promise caused some things to come out of him naturally. If that doesn't come out of you, don't copy him. What fails is a copying of somebody else's acts. The man said, no, I was sick. I just believed God. I threw all my medicine. And then suddenly, I began to get well. And I said, now, wow. So the way to get healed now is the throwing away of medicine. Throwing away of medicine now becomes a formula, except that it's not the word of God. So people start failing. They start dying. Things are going wrong. They say, don't mind these Christians. They won't take medicine. Listen, the Bible never said a Christian should take or not take medicine. What he simply said is that he should believe the word of God. If in believing the word of God in that fellow's life, he said, listen, I don't need this medicine. He's not that somebody said, don't take it. It's just that he realized that this is not, what is he going to do for me? If trust in the word of God ignites that out of that fellow, it will never bring a wrong testimony. Never. The problem always is I'm copying somebody else. I heard that this man said he drove 500 kilometers without buying fuel. You don't want to spend money, you go. You have money, oh, nobody said you not get. Don't worry, God will just wait for you. Let's teach this boy a lesson. He has to live long. So let's teach him a lesson now. As soon as you come out from the trekking distance to the last filling station, and you enter in the dangerous zone where the boys, they hang out, where will you finish? Bam. You say, I confess. As you are saying, I confess. An angel will take your hand, dip it in your pocket. What you will feel is the money that is inside there. And suddenly paint a picture on your head, the last filling station. Why you not buy fuel? And I say, hey, God, help me. I'm in trouble now. I say, God, hey, good. What's the trouble? There are a lot of hoodlums around here. I'm stranded. I'm in the bush. God, and I say, watch help. Next, two men will come from inside the bush. What's happening? My car just stopped here. What's it? It looks like there's no fuel. You see, two of them are big. The third one will come and join them. You won't know they are angels. No fuel. And there's a police station that way. Say, let's go and help you buy fuel. They will collect your money because this is... Okay, do you have money there? It's an angel. You give it to him. An Okada will appear. He will climb on the bike. He will go for like 15 minutes. Instead of 1 hour that it should have been. And return with fuel. Pour it in your car. That is God. Then you will see some hoodlums hanging around trying to, But they can't because there are two guys helping you. That is an answer to send us help from above. You know that kind of thing. Because after that, next time you see filling station, you go rush them. The problem is that, listen, buying fuel is good. Amen? Amen. What did I say? Buying fuel is good. It's a good thing. Don't stop looking for, you know, anyhow testimony. This kind of thing, want to brag on God. That's not the I don't have to buy fuel. My God, you all put fuel in the car. Some have even gone and say, God, since there's no fuel, let's put water. I don't believe in that one at all. If you give me that testimony, I'll look at it with suspicion. There was no fuel, there was no fuel. My spirit just said I should pour water. I won't believe you. I will not believe you. He said, but God turned water to wine. I didn't say God cannot turn water to fuel. I just said I don't believe you. Because Christians like to tell all kinds of stories. It may happen. It may happen. That one day, are you getting my point? Somebody will be in that kind of dire situation and the Holy Spirit will come, speak to him in a manner that cannot be doubted and say, put water in that thing. Don't worry about it. It is possible. Why I'm just saying what I said, all right, is because I don't want Christians to think that is normal. God doesn't do it often. He does it usually in your life once. After that, no, let me give you an example. How did David kill Goliath? Stone and what? Sling. How many giants did he kill like that after that? All the other giants were killed the normal way. Bow and arrow, sword, dagger, fight, real fight, men surrounding him. Do you understand my point? Please, I'm trying to explain, you know, balance is the key to life. That's what I'm trying to make, all right? People often get it wrong when they start acting on other people's testimonies, not knowing that that testimony is not the key. The key is the believing the promise of God. Are you getting my point? The key is what? Believing the promise of God. Now, once the key promise has been believed, God will now manifest in different ways. Like when he says, you will never be stranded. So he puts money in your pocket and puts fuel on the road. That's one way. That is one way. You will never be stranded. He takes away your hummer and gives you a picanto. He can do that. Yes. So this is your hummer just wasting natural resources. Use this picanto for a while. Why? Because you put 2 liters in it, that one naoka, an extra liter on it. Before, that one couldn't get you to 9 miles. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to say there are different ways. There are different ways. But what God simply says is, what is my promise to you? I will never be stranded. Hold that promise. One day you are going, there's no way to go. God will just see, you see some men riding horses. They put you at the back. You will never be stranded. And then finally one day, you say, why ride horses? Why use picantos? Why don't you just buy you a helicopter? Still the same word. You will never be stranded. That's the point I want the people of God to understand. What God wants is for us to build our lives on his promise. And the person that God is impressed with is the one that builds his or her life on the promise of God. Many people they build life on human machinations, human reasoning. I don't want to be poor in life. I must marry a rich man. Forgetting that men can die. Money vanishes. Man is rich today, tomorrow. And you know the way money vanishes fastest is government decree. Government will just say from now on, boom, that's it. Men who were rich are now poor. Men who were poor become rich. Why? One government talked. But this is a Christian. You just know that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No matter what the situation is. That's what I mean by building your life on the promise of God. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? People go to school, say, if you go to get this kind of degree, you get a good job. Why? They believe that their destiny will be secure if I have that kind of job. Listen, no matter how good a degree you have, please, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord, don't put your hope in it. Don't put your hope in it. The days of SAP, I was an adult in Nigeria in the days of SAP, the worst thing to do to yourself was have a salary job. Yes, the days of SAP. We used to look at those traders in the market. See, these guys were very wise, though. They were not like our parents that were very foolish, decided to go to school. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Started to go to school, get job. Forgetting that the time they were doing that, it was the in thing. Like I always say, don't go and buy football for your son now because of who's the reigning Nigerian. I know the days of JJ Okocha and Co, they passed. Mikel Obi, Don't go and buy football because of that. Buy football if it is what? Good. A young boy should play. There's a time to play. Buy football for that purpose. But please, don't buy it because you're hoping that one day will be Mikel Obi. Because the time will also come. We just say, can't robots play this ball? These boys are too expensive. I'm telling you. You are laughing. They all make all kinds of robots. The competition will not be on companies. The company making it. Say, oh boy, I've seen the latest Sonic, front runner. What do you call those guys in front? The latest Sonic striker. Say, that thing can move fast. I don't buy my own, you know. They will be owning their own soccer teams. I'm telling you. But what Christians do is build their hope on what? Promise. Isaac is that which God does in your life despite all the odds because you trusted him. And let me say something to you. Once you beget your Isaac, everything after that becomes easy. Yes. After you beget Isaac, everything after that is easy. Listen, I feel like, let me just end there. I've taken time. My message today is that Christians must learn to build their lives on the promise of God. And I feel like emphasizing it, that please, anything you are doing in life, make sure it is because there is a promise attached. Or that is a promise. That is the reason why you are doing it. That is the reason why you are doing it. Don't use common sense. Don't. I like to give this testimony all the time. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. And Jackie Mize said, I can't have children. And he said to her, why? He said, because something happened. Doctor said this, doctor said that. And the guys laughed. Let me add my own word now, that laughter. He laughed. And said, the doctors don't know anything. Are you following that point? That is, he married her based on not what her physiology was like. Not her ability. And not because he said, if I like, I have children. If it doesn't matter, love is what matters. You see, the Lord is good. You know, it sounds noble. It sounds very noble. The man doesn't even concern himself about children. As long as the wife loves him and is dedicated to him, it doesn't matter. They don't have to have children. That's good. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Does that impress God? Small, tiny like this. What impresses God? Terry Mann said simply, the doctors don't know what they are saying. The promise of God is, do you get my point? Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it's a blessing to have a quiverful. I, the Lord, I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Now listen to this. He married her because of those promises. Now, whether he lost children or not is not the issue now. What impressed God is that even though the odds, the guy said it to him straight. And the guy said, forget it. Those guys cannot invalidate the word of God. He said to her simply, watch it. Just marry me first. I will show you the glory of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, did I not tell you if you believe you will see the glory of God? That woman had 4 children. Because a man said, don't worry. Who said it, doctor? Fine. This is a good experiment. Let us see who's more powerful. The doctor or the promise of God. And I'm saying to you in your life, that's the way you handle it. Isaac is that which God does in your life. Not because you're strong. Isaac is that which God does in your life because despite all the odds, you took hold of a promise and built a life around it. Amen. I say to you, you will never be ashamed. Amen. What I've said to you is a matter of fact. You will never be ashamed.
Amen.
Listen to me. I say it one more time. You build your life on a word from God. You will never be ashamed.
Amen.
That's me of the word Isaac. Living according to the promise of God. I hope you understood me today. I hope you understood what I've said today. Let's bow down our heads and just give it up.